One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make is because they can't see the path to the whole end of the game, the destination, they're frozen in fear.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Selling with Love podcast. I have a gentleman that I was just discussing with him before starting recording that I've been 1 degree separated from this gentleman for the last 10 years. I've had a history of Morcamp Mind Valley. I've been close to most of the authors of The Secret. And now coming to the show, we have the one and only John Asraf. Finally, we get to connect and we're going to be sharing some important messages for everybody here. If you've ever wanted to rewire your beliefs, do some training for your mind, inner sizes, as you'll discover a bit more through the episode. You are talking to the man that's truly going to help you get over any kind of resistance when it comes to selling, any beliefs around money that might be holding you back or trying to attract abundance for that matter. We are going to dissect that, dive deeper and see how we can improve our lives, even if in the sea of change of 2025. If you're not familiar with John, he's been the star from The Secret, if you've ever watched this movie, but the man has been a CEO, co-founder of one of the biggest real estate organizations out in Indiana, bringing up to 1,200 sales associates, making over $4 billion a year in sales. Man has been someone that brought a company up to NASDAQ Bamboo iPix with a market cap of $2.5 billion. The man has written 4 books, including 2 New York Times bestseller, has been featured in over 11 movies, and now living in San Diego with his wife, 2 sons. He is a vegan meditator. He's an avid skier, ocean lover, and so much more. Truly living a life that we could only dream of. And perhaps that dream can be accessible when you start applying some of the tools that he's going to teach today. John, welcome to the show.
It's so good to be with you. It's funny you said that some of us can only dream of. I actually have my exceptional life blueprint here. And just to start off, this is where I put all of the things that I dream of. And it's part of my vision board, which we can talk about with everybody today.
Well, I'm going to start right there since we already been is, you know, someone's looking at this saying, wow, you have it all. I guess you were lucky. I guess, you know, you had a favorable start. But here you're talking about having a concrete vision. And I'd be curious to know, how much does spending time crafting the vision of what you want play a role of getting what you want?
I mean, it's a great question. Imagine that you're at the Olympics. You make it to the Olympics. And, you know, you go to where you're supposed to do your first competition. And you see the judges and you see all the other archers are getting ready and you're starting to look for where's the targets? Where are the targets? Like, I'm used to having a target. You've been training for 4 years and you're asking the other archers, did anybody know where the targets are? And they said, there aren't any today. And they're going to wonder, like, how do we win? So why do I start off with that? A vision gives your brain a picture of something in the future for it to have, okay, in the distance so that you can plot a path towards it. Goals give you markers. When I go from here to here, I'm making progress. Then I get from here to here, I make more progress. I get from here to here, I make more progress. And here's something that's really pretty amazing. If anybody here gets in their car in the middle of the night and all the lights are out, you know, for 500 miles. And you say, I want to go 500 miles. And you go, oh my God, but I don't have a map. I don't know where to go. I said, okay, if you got into your car and you turned your headlights on, you could make it up the street, right? And if you made it up the street, your headlights would show you a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make is because they can't see the path to the whole end of the game, the destination, they are frozen in fear. Now, I learned this. Like, my father was a cab driver and then left to make money for his family. My mother worked as a seamstress. He went to grade 5, she went to grade 3. They were broke most of their lives. They worked hard. He was an alcoholic. He was a gambler, didn't have any money. I moved as a kid, had, you know, failed English, failed math, left high school grade 11. My parents were always broke, fighting about the lack of money. And so something unique happened to me, and yes, I was lucky. I was on my way to either jail or the morgue because I was involved in a small little street gang that sold drugs, did drugs, break-in entries, fights, the works. Detention centers, police, principal's office all the time. And my brother, who loved me, introduced me to this one man that he used to teach tennis to. And this one guy, his name is Alan Brown, agreed with my brother to invite me from Montreal to Toronto, where I used to live, just to come for lunch to see if he would give me a job. At the time, I worked in a shipping department for Philips Electronics, the big electronic conglomerate, in the shipping department for $1.65 an hour. Opening boxes, closing boxes, closing boxes, opening boxes. I was like, I hated it. And so I took the train to Toronto, and my brother introduced me to Mr. Brown. He picks me up at the train station. He introduces me to Mr. Brown, and Mr. Brown's like, what do you want to achieve in your life? Obviously, after the small chit-chat, I go, oh, well, I want a better job. I want to make more money. I want to move out of my parents' house because I am 19. I hate it here. And I'd love to buy a car because I'm so tired of my friends picking me up or taking the subway or the buses. It's cold in Montreal. And he goes, well, that's great, but what are some of your bigger goals and dreams? I said, well, I just told you what I want. He says, could you do me a favor? I said, sure. What is it, sir? And he says, I'm going to give you a questionnaire. And it was about 10 questions. Would you mind just taking 5-6 minutes and just imagine, you know, and give me the answers to these questions? So he gives me this document, and I swear I can remember this like it was yesterday. I take it and I like open it up. And the first question is, at what age do you want to retire? I'm like, excuse me. My father's not retired. My aunts and uncles are not retired. My mother's not retired. Well, I don't know. Well, like, what am I supposed to put there? Just pick a number. I was 19. And I said, is 45 okay? He goes, yeah, it's 26 years from now. Good number. Put 45. Second question. Upon retirement, so now it's 45, how much net worth do you want to have? And I said, what does net worth be? Explain to me what net worth was. And then, you know, where would you like to travel? What kind of car do you want? Well, I want to travel all over the world. I want Mercedes-Benz convertible. I want a four-bedroom house. I want to retire my parents. I want Italian clothes. I want. I can get into my imagination. And I just pulled shit out of my ass. Okay? But it was like a nice vision. And this one question he asked me afterwards, after he read it and said, this is a really good vision for a life that looks like it would be extraordinary, don't you think? I go, oh my God, yeah. He leaned in. He looked at me. My brother was wondering if he's going to hit me or something, but he looked at me and he goes, son, are you interested in living this life that you just wrote out on this book? Or are you committed to living it? And I'm like scratching my head. I'm feeling like I'm back at school. Like I got to like think and like it was hurting me a little bit. And I asked him, I said, excuse me, sir, what's the difference? So he leans back and he goes, son, puts his hands on the table. People who are interested do what's easy and convenient. People who are interested come up with stories and reasons and excuses why they can't or why they won't. People who are interested only allow their present circumstances to control their thinking, and they keep repeating the same behaviors and habits over and over and over again, hoping, wishing, and praying for something to change. But because they don't change, nothing changes. He says, but people who are committed, they upgrade their identity to match the destiny they want. He says, they upgrade their knowledge, they upgrade their skills, they overcome their fears, they get rid of their beliefs that may be holding them back, and they do whatever it takes. And again, he leans back a little bit with his chest down. He goes, so now that you know the difference, son, which are you? And I'm like thinking in my head, interested, committed, interested. I don't know why, except I was sick and tired of the life I was living, lying, stealing, drugs, selling, you know, all that stuff. I was embarrassed and ashamed of it, but it was providing me some money and feeling like I belonged and like I had some value because I didn't believe I had any value back then because I did poorly in school and I got beaten by my dad because I got F. F was a great grade for me. Most of the time, I didn't get grades. So I said, I'm committed. And Mr. Brown just smiles, puts out his hand, and goes, in that case, son, I will be your mentor. I go, wow, sir, thank you. What's a mentor? So long story short, I moved from Montreal to Toronto. He had me go, I borrowed $500 to go back to school to get a real estate license. I passed the test on my own without cheating 5 weeks later. I moved in with my brother. I used my brother's car to go to the, I would take him to the tennis courts, go to school, be there, pick him back up. And for 5-6 weeks, I did that. And then he offers me a job and I'm thinking I'm going to get paid, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. He says, I'm offering you a job. You did the work. You moved here. You're committed. You followed through. Let's get busy. I go, great. What am I going to get paid? What's my salary? He goes, well, salary? He says, you can get paid whatever you want. He says, you're going to be in real estate. And I said, I know, but I need food. I need to pay my brother a little bit of rent. I need gas money. He goes, well, you're going to learn how to earn it. I go, like, doing what? He goes, well, you're going to learn how to sell. I'm going to learn how to what? Like, what do you mean sell? It says, well, people want to buy homes. You're going to learn how to sell them homes. People need to list their homes to sell their homes. You're going to learn how to do that. And I was fucking scared shitless. I'm 19. Who's going to want to buy a house from me? That was my beginning of getting into sales. And so we can start with that. For anybody who might be petrified of sales, feel like they're not good enough, smart enough, worthy enough, skilled enough, let's start with that. And I'll show you the entire process of what he did with me, including all the things that I wrote down that I wanted. Every day when I came into the office, I had to review it and read it out loud, putting my right fingers across one line and my left finger across the other. He said, that's going to send an electrical signal to your brain of how much you want to earn, which was, I needed $3 million 26 years later. But he also had me set a goal for $10,000 a month. As my goal when I started real estate, $10,000 a month. My dad made $25,000 in a year. He might as well have told me 2 million. So let me stop talking and I'll give you the chance to dive in because you know your audience and I want to serve them. But I understand being scared of sales. I understand a lot about sales.
Well, I love that you trained that in such a beautiful story. And I think that resonates exactly where to start. Usually I go in and ask, you know, what is your history with sales and how has it played a part in your success? But before we get to that, I kind of want to chip away at something you mentioned around the interested and committed part. And I have to look at my own past and I think of all the times that I've had massive transformations, it preceded a moment where I was extremely dissatisfied with my status quo. Like if it was, say, in relationships, like I'd have an episode where something terrible happened in a relationship, which committed me to wanting to change who I was. If I think of times in business that I wanted to make a change, it was because I was lost and I really needed to make a change. Or even more concrete, even going into university thinking, I was terrible at public speaking. And it was at a moment where I was so embarrassed in front of an audience that I made a commitment. I was like, I do not want to be this loser who doesn't even know how to talk in front of an audience. I'm going to change. And so I wanted to ask you if we need to force ourselves into a desperate situation to actually make a change, or are there some proactive things that we can do so that we can immediately bring that sense of fire and urgency? Because to be honest, I struggle with that.
Yeah. The answer is it depends who you are and your character. So there are some people that do more because they're moving away from something painful, something they don't want or cannot stand anymore, and they move away from it. That's 90% of the world. And 10% are like, no, like I want to go for that, and I'll fail, and I'll be embarrassed, and I'll be ashamed, and I'll get back up. I'm going for that goal no matter what. That's like 10% of the population. The majority of people, I've worked with millions of people, you know, on the outskirts, over 100,000 students just in the last 10 years. And people have to be motivated by the thing that motivates them. So there isn't a one size fits all. However, there are some things that we have discovered about the human brain, which is my specialty in behavioral neuroscience. Functionally, every brain works the same. But for example, there are some people, if I said the words, imagine that a snake just slithered into the room you're in, and imagine you looked at it, it was 10 feet long and it looked like it was about 200-300 pounds. Some people might be like, oh, snake, oh my God, right? Let me get up and run away. Other people are like, let me get my camera so I take a picture of it. So the thing that triggers fear in me may not be the thing that triggers fear in you. The thing that causes me to feel I might be embarrassed might not be the thing that causes you to feel embarrassed. So we have to treat success and our path as an individual journey, part one. So if I could understand, what is my motivating factors? So am I motivated to never, ever, ever allow this thing to happen or to happen again? Am I sick and tired of being sick and tired? So the cost, or the what we call is the switch cost. There is a switch cost that we do not like to pay. And the switch cost is switching my thoughts, emotions, and behaviors from my current set of circumstances and habits to the new ones that I require. Our brain does not want us to use energy. It is an energy miser. So we're going against the natural propensity of the brain. But when the motive for change, the motive for change is greater than the motive to remain the same, we will change. So we have to understand some constructs about why do I procrastinate? I want to do this. I want to achieve that. I may know the books, the coaches, the teachers, the podcasts that can help me. And even when I listen to them and go, yeah, that's great, I should do that, I don't do it. And most people fall into the category of using the drug of choice to achieve their goals. And the drug of choice is called hopium. They hope things will get better. And unfortunately, things don't get better until you do. So you have to make a commitment to the process. And if people understand the process and they understand the timelines, and then they understand how to regulate their emotions during change. We're not taught this stuff in school. We're not taught it's okay to feel fear. We'll probably talk a little bit about Frankie's monster over there and Einstein over there. Those are the Stein cousins. And I'll explain to you a little bit about the way we look at the brain, the way we teach about the brain around those. So one of the things I'd like everybody just to consider for a moment, right? It's 2025. Can we, if we're committed, learn how to speak in public and feel comfortable if we're committed to the process? Can we? Of course, you know, we might feel, you know, afraid, fearful of being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged, rejected. We have those emotions, but we can learn how to manage those emotions if we want to get better at communicating as you did. If, again, we don't have to say yes, but if we were committed, could we, for example, privately get AI to coach us right now for free? And practice in private so we get rewarded in public. We can practice what to say. We can practice with an AI coach. We can practice objection handling. We can practice how we would respond or react in private. You can do it in your fucking closet and nobody would know you're doing it. So you could practice with you until you felt comfortable, okay, with you in a selling situation. And just on that note, isn't selling a skill?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we're talking about selling, the first challenge people have, some people, is they like the rewards of selling. They like the idea of it. They like the potential income. And it's not that they don't like selling. It's not selling that they're moving away from. It's being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged, rejected that they're moving away from. And so they are projecting what might happen in a selling situation. But the way that our brain works, Frankie, is your early warning detection mechanism. And your brain is thinking in advance all the time. What if he swears at me? What if I make a mistake? What if he rejects me? What does that say about me? Is he confirming that I am not worthy? Is he confirming that I'm not smart enough? Is she confirming I'm inadequate? So now selling becomes a personal attack on us that might cause us to feel embarrassed or ashamed, or we're afraid of being ridiculed or judged, or like, what are you trying to sell me for? So we have these constructs around the word selling, like we have constructs around the word snake. Jumping out of a plane, scuba diving, eating ants. We have these constructs about what it means, and our brain is projecting, specifically the Frankie's monster part of the brain, is projecting the worst case scenario, which is actually your best friend. So Frankie's monster is not your enemy. Fear is not your enemy. Being worried about being embarrassed, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be judged. I don't take rejection personally because I learned how to construct what it actually means. So the issue most people have around selling is they think selling is doing something to somebody. And it's not. Selling is serving somebody, is making sure that your program, product, service, or thing has a resonant match with what they want and need and will help them. And you owe it to them to show them how your program, product, or thing can enhance and make their life, business, children's better. And your job is to guide, not to sell. And it's a skill that you can learn. And most people haven't learned the skill. But the skill is readily available for anybody who is committed. And there's different levels of the game of selling. And you're going to start off as a clumsy beginner. And you're not going to have any technique and strategy and understanding how to lead and how to ask questions, how to handle objections. But you're a clumsy beginner. And then if you have self-image issues or you don't know how to regulate your emotions, you're not just a clumsy beginner, okay? But you're a clumsy beginner with mindset and emotional challenges you have to overcome as well. And that's okay too, because 2025, we understand a little bit more about how the brain works. And if you're committed, you can learn how to upgrade your self-image, self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence so that whoever rejects you, you're like, okay, next one. Whoever tries to embarrass you, it's like, they're ignorant. Whoever tries to, you know, do whatever to you, it's not about you. It's about them. And you can learn how to be in control of a situation, but it takes a commitment to learn how to. And I want to show you something. I use this as an example. In some of my teaching, they will appreciate that.
All I'm going to add here, John, is just the fact that there are some people who are going to be listening to this. So for those of you who are listening, I highly suggest you move over to YouTube and come and see the video of this episode, because you'll understand the references to Einstein and Frankenstein. We're about to have a demonstration as well. So I will encourage you guys to come and check it out.
Yeah. So for those of you that can't get to YouTube right now, imagine that we have 5 Rubik's cubes in front of us. We have one that's a 2x2 Rubik's cube. One that's 3x3x3, one that's 4x4, one that's 5x5, and then we have like the monster, okay, like multifaceted Rubik's Cube. And here's my question. If you had these in front of you, first question is, are they solvable? Like, are all of these solvable, right? So I've got a few that are already solved, a few that, you know, we play with. So they're all solvable. So if you're in sales and you want to get better, you want to make 50,000, 100,000, 300,000, 500,000, a million, it's doable, right? I mean, those numbers are doable in almost any sales job. Now, here's the question. If you're committed, could you learn today on YouTube how to solve the 2x2?
100%.
You can also go to ChatGPT or Claude and go, hey, I'm a beginner at the Rubik's Cube. I've got the 2x2 before me. Give me the step-by-step, easy to follow instruction, or the 3x3, or the 4x4, or the 5x5. So they're not only solvable, we can get the instruction of every step to take, and we can either do it on our own, we can get help doing it. Most people try to solve the Rubik's Cube on their own, never solve it, because there's over a billion moves you can make just with the 3x3. And most people are working hard, but they never solve it. So in sales, if you were committed, I'm going to keep coming back to that word, could you learn the structure for any selling situation? Of course, it's going to take some time because you can play sales at the beginner level, or you can play sales at the Hall of Fame pro level. You don't get to the Hall of Fame pro level without going through the steps. So the steps are, first, I have to work on my own mindset and see myself as somebody who serves. And my vocation is selling the program, product, or service that I do to help people. The second part of it is learning, how should I present? How should I qualify? Do I know what the objections are that people will ask, whether it's time, money, quality, do I understand the structure? And so if I invest a little bit of time every day on upgrading my mindset, my identity, to see myself as somebody who helps others through this professional vocation called selling, and that I am an excellent salesperson helping others achieve what they want because of my programs, products, services, or thing, then I'm a servant leader. And if my program, product, service, or thing either doesn't meet their budget, doesn't meet their needs, they don't understand what it is, that's okay. My job is to find the people that I can help. And if I can find people that I can help and I know what to say, how to control a conversation, how to handle whatever questions they may have, and I don't take their rejection personally, then I can start to be better at the game called selling. And if I'm not prepared to be a clumsy beginner and learn the basics and then the intermediate and the advanced and the pro level stuff, then you're not committed. Get out of the freaking game. Go do something else. And that's okay. If you want to get better at selling, then understand the constructs, the frameworks to get better at selling. It's like you want to learn how to knit. You're going to learn how to knit. You want to do the Rubik's Cube. You're going to learn how to do the Rubik's Cube. You want to learn to be a better chef, bake a cake, bake a cookie. You know, you want to get better at dressing, whatever it is. You're going to have to learn. And all learning on the front end feels clumsy, confusing, and overwhelming. Until it doesn't.
As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important, and you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top tier security, and human only best in class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. John, this is such a powerful masterclass. So thank you for that. I want to expand on the resistance. I'm looking at your Rubik's Cubes example, and what you've made us painfully aware for everybody listening is no matter what skill you want to develop, yes, you start as a fumbling beginner. Yes, the information is all available and more available than ever with tools like AI, with access to information through everything on the internet, including YouTube. So it's all there. We need to get to a point to commit to go and learn it. And one of the questions I wanted to ask is for someone who's just getting started in business and sales feels like that daunting task, there's this mini Rubik's Cube you showed, which makes it that, hey, wow, okay, that one I can start and I have to learn the skills. The skills seem simple enough to learn, but there's the resistance that gets me, like I haven't went to learn the Rubik's Cube because I wasn't motivated, I wasn't committed to learn the Rubik's Cube. Sales, I want to commit to learning it. Okay, what would be the Rubik's Cube Junior that you think is most important for people to get the first step into learning that sales is a skill and I can get my first win?
Yeah. So we're going to set a vision in advance of being there. So if I was to have you start with your imagination, and I said, let's say that you're going to be an excellent salesperson. How much money would you like to make as a result of that? Pick a number, 50,000, 100,000, 500,000, doesn't matter, pick a number. And you don't need to know how to achieve it right now. Just like you don't need to know, you know, what you need to do right now if you want to run a marathon a year from now. You just need to make the decision today. And then you learn the sleep habits, the food habits, the exercise habits, the rest habits, the nutrition habits. You learn that after you make the decision. So first you say, okay, I want to achieve this. And as a result of achieving this, my lifestyle would be like this. I can help my mother. I can help my father. I can take my grandparents on a trip. I can actually give some money because I really like the planet and I want to give clean water to this or schools here. I want to do some charitable stuff, whatever it is. So you create a vision, you create the income, and you ask yourself this question. If I could achieve that, how would that make me feel? How would that vision that I don't know how to achieve yet, that's an imaginative story right now, how would that make me feel right now if it was true right now? Remember that feeling. Write it down. Who else would I be able to help as a result of me being able to do that? Oh, my mom, my dad, my kids, or my future kids, whatever it is. You write that down. And you come up with, you know, 5, 10, 15 reasons that would motivate you and encourage you to become the person capable of achieving it. Now, why do we do that? Because we need to activate not just the imagination center or the I want this center, the deductive reasoning part of the brain. We want to go one layer deeper into the limbic system to activate the emotional cortex. It's the emotional cortex, the limbic system. And that emotional cortex is going to be your best friend. Why? Because whenever we're learning something new, whenever we're like stepping out of our current comfort zone, Frankie's monster is going to come up and go, but what if you fail? What if you don't achieve it? What if you're embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged? What if you waste time? What if people reject you? What if people spit on you? What if negative? And you need to learn, right, how to listen to that and say to yourself, I can handle whatever comes my way because the prize is bigger than the fear. The prize of who I become is bigger than being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged, rejected. The prize, okay, that I get to become that is bigger than me feeling inadequate. As a matter of fact, going after the prize helps me feel adequate and more than enough. So I'm going to create some frames of my future and the reasons why I must overcome the doubts, fears, worries, anxiety, stress, etc. I'm going to come up with reasons in advance. And the reason I do that is that's my emotional capital, because you will feel like procrastinating. You won't want to get out of bed. You won't want to study and practice this. You won't want to do what's necessary because it is new and it's hard when it's new. So I start off with that. And then we go back to this Rubik's Cube and we go, okay, in order for me to believe that I could be this person, what would I actually need to believe? Well, I would need to believe that I am smart enough. I can learn this. I am resilient. I'm tenacious. I've got grit, and I can overcome any challenge. Great. Write that down. I'm so grateful. The fact that I am smart enough, good enough, worthy enough. I've got tenacity, grit, and I can overcome any challenge. Yeah. I want you to read that every freaking day. Don't just read it. Come up with 3 or 4 or 5 more empowering beliefs. I want you to record it on your little mobile phone, like I have on my mobile phone. And you know what I did this morning as part of my exercise practice? Right? I've got several things I've recorded. This is called my promise. I don't know if you can hear it. So I record things. I'm now living my life by design, not by default. I'm extremely smart and have everything I need in order to make my life the masterpiece I desire to be. So I'm rising to my vision. Every morning, I listen to either the ones Inner Size I've created for myself or the ones in my Inner Size app. Now, I'm also creating the imprinting materials in written form as well as my vision board to all match up and align. So I create the beliefs by creating beliefs. I'm firing neurons and wiring neurons. Now, I'll also take a couple of moments and I will actually visualize myself behaving in alignment with the beliefs I just read and seeing myself act that way. Now, why would I do that? Well, when I visualize, visualization is a simulation. When I simulate, the exact same neurons as if it's happening and real are firing in my brain. And here is a piece of neuroscience brilliance. The neurons that fire together will wire together. And the neurons that wire together in a repetitive sequence will become automatic thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. That's called automaticity. Now, here's the good news. We know exactly how it works. Here's the challenging news for most people. It takes longer than you'd like. The new research that was done, University of Toronto, 66 days to 365 days to either override an old belief pattern, self-image pattern, habit pattern, or create a new one and reinforce it so it becomes the dominant pattern. So don't tell me you're going to do it 2 or 3 times. You didn't want to eat with a spoon and fork and cut your food as a baby or a toddler by doing it 2 or 3 or 4 times. You didn't learn the alphabet. You didn't learn math. You didn't learn the language. You didn't learn how to get dressed. You didn't learn anything for the most part that is a pattern that's been reinforced in 1 or 2 days. That's of any meaning. So the question I ask all my students is, would you be willing to give me 100 days to help you refire, to rewire your brain to match the success that you want? And if you don't, that's okay. Go do something else. I'll see you when you're committed. So we can use a variety of evidence-based methods to create beliefs, to create an upgraded self-image, to create new habits. And before anybody says to me, how do you do that? Which I'll show you, just give you a couple ideas. Ask yourself this question. Were you born with a self-image? Were you born with self-confidence? Were you born with fear? Fear of dogs, cats, flying, driving, sex, males, females, arrows. Were you born with any fear of anything? Zero. Were you born with any habits? Zero. Were you born with any beliefs? Zero. A belief is nothing more. A self-image is nothing more. A fear is nothing more than a reinforced pattern in the brain. Some are positive, empowering, and constructive, build you up. And some are disempowering, destructive, and tear you down. Now, here's the thing about the brain. It really doesn't care what pattern it's reinforcing. If you're watching this, write this down. All consistency compounds. Consistently thinking, feeling, and behaving in the right way compounds over months and years and decades. Consistently being scared, not following your dream, allowing fear to control you, makes your amygdala bigger and your emotional control or emotional response circuit in your brain activate faster. There's actually a part of the brain, left and right medial part of the brain, that when you actually take action when you don't feel like it, it's like a muscle that you start to build. There's an actual part in the brain. But you know what most people are doing? They want to sell, but what if they say no? Reinforce that pattern. Well, what if they reject me? What if negative, 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 negative? And then they reinforce a negative story because they don't know how to turn off Frankie's monster and turn on Einstein part of the brain. That's the left prefrontal cortex versus the right prefrontal cortex. It's like gas and brakes in your car. You like having both of those, right? Well, you have a Frankie to keep you safe and to warn you, and you got an Einstein for imagination and to figure out how you can instead of Frankie saying, here's why you shouldn't. Now, most people don't know that they have these two parts of the brain, but it's not just those two parts. Your brain is like an orchestra with different members of the brain or orchestra doing different things, playing different instruments, and maybe you're just not a very good conductor yet of your own orchestra. But you have a brain, you're not your brain, and you don't have a user's manual for a $100 billion tool you own already. No mortgage, no payment plans. I'm going off because I love sales. I love salespeople who are there to help people.
And I have to say, like, for anybody coming here, realizing that this is the missing link. If you're struggling in sales, this is 100% the missing link. I'll be honest with you, John. I've run this podcast for about 5 years. I've had amazing people come in. I've taught a lot of people as well when it comes to what are some of the tools? What are some of the strategies? What are some of the tactics? What are some of the funnels? What are some of the marketing assisted stuff to have success? And what I've kept finding is that it was always a psychology issue, not a tactical issue. And you've just nailed the nail on the head with the hammer on the psychology issue around the commitment, around the fact that the neurology needs to be reprogramming, the beliefs needs to be looked into. And what I'm going to encourage everyone, if you've resonated as strongly with what you've heard from John today, I'm going to encourage you guys to all go to myneurogym.com. I'm going to put some links to more resources from John so you guys can go deeper. If you are listening to this and realizing, I'm tired of having this block in sales. I'm tired of seeing people that are crushing it online when you know you have an amazing product, an amazing service that truly transforms people's lives, and you're just on the sidelines seeing other people just because they can sell. It's not that. It's the commitment to learn the skills that's required to play the game that works today. And I want to make sure that everybody who is feeling inspired by this conversation is going deeper and is exploring more. And John, I do have to ask one question before I let you go, which is a question I ask every guest who comes on the show, which is, you're on the Selling with Love podcast. What does selling with love mean to you?
Caring for the other human being. At one point, I had 1,200 salespeople who were selling $4.5 billion a year in sales. I've trained a lot of salespeople. I've had them. I've hired them. I used to tell every single one of them, if you ever wake up saying, I need to sell today because I need to pay the car payment, the mortgage, I need to buy this person this gift, don't go and sell. Stop, because the marketplace doesn't want you to bring what you need. The marketplace wants you to bring your seeds to it. And you bring your seeds of helping others. You shift that side of you off and you go, stop, breathe. Let me see if I can serve this person with love. Let me see if I could take such good care of them. The purpose of selling is not to have the person know about you. The only purpose of selling on the front end is to make that other person feel, you understand me. You feel my vision, my goals. You feel my pain. You feel my frustration. You feel what I'm irritated by. You understand what I'm thinking about in secret that I may not even know how to express to another person. But if you come with a caring heart, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to see if my program, my product, my service can help you go with that. There's something called double binding message in sales. a double binding message. And this doesn't happen often, but have you ever been in a situation where somebody is talking and you know they're lying? Words are coming out of their mouth. And in the back of your head, you're just feeling, what a liar. We have this intuition that is faster than any other sense we have. And we pick up the energy of your actual intention. So I used to tell my sales team, I don't want you selling because you need to make money. I want you selling because you need to help another person, and they will feel your sincerity. You can F up what you say, how you say it, but they will feel your heart and your intention. And do you know what selling is? Listening, paying attention, having the sensory acuity to know how to ask the right questions. Yes. To know what comes next and what comes next and what comes next. So selling is serving them by loving and caring about them more than you do what your needs are. And they will feel that. Only 7% of the communication that happens with people happens verbally. 7%, 93% is all nonverbal communication. There's a part of our brain that is picking up information at lightning speeds before you've even said anything. So close your eyes, come to your sales call, come to the sales meeting, come to the stage, come to the networking event with a loving heart. I am here to love and serve, and I'm going to learn the right syntax for selling so that I don't sell too fast or too slow, that I understand the structure. And before we go, I'd love to share something with you. Here's a quick story. First week, okay, I'm on commission only. Alan Brown puts a sheet of paper in front of me with 100 boxes on there. First box at $15, $30, $45, $60, $75, $90, $105, $120. And he said, here's the job. Okay, ready? You're going to call 100 people today. No matter whether they say yes or no, you've made $15 for each call. Here's what I can guarantee you based on what we've discovered. By the time you get to 100 people, you'll find some prospects. Some may want to sell, some may want to buy. I'll go with you. I'll help you. Great. What should I tell them? Oh, here's a script. What's a script? And he says, well, when you call and somebody answers, here's what you're going to say. I'm 63 now. I learned this when I was 19. Do the math. 45 years. Hi, this is John Asraf with Alan Brown Real Estate Company. And I would have my script, right? We have somebody that's looking to buy a home in the neighborhood. Have you thought about making a sale? And then I had, if they said yes, say this. If they said no, say that. So I would go, oh, you're not? Oh, do you know if any of the neighbors may want to move? If they said yes, I had this. If they said no, I'd have that. When do you think you might be moving? So I had a decision tree, but with a script. And if they said yes, I go, great. Can my broker, Mr. Alan Brown, and I come over today at 3 o'clock, or would 5 o'clock be better? And he taught me that's called an alternative close, right? Don't ask him if you can come over. Give him an option at 2 times. That was a skill I learned. Using that skill, in 6 months, I made $62,000. Alan took 31. I got 31. More than my father made in the whole year. For the next 12 months, he taught me a couple more scripts, structure. I made $354,000 gross by learning a new script. I made over $150,000 as a 20-year-old kid. He helped me work on my mindset. He helped me work on my skill set. And he helped me take the right actions every single day. And that's what's required in anything in life. And that's why I created my work. And hopefully people can get a chance to check out the InnerSize app with all the sales training that I already have in there for them.
I think you have left us more than enough for us to get that curiosity, that desire. And what I'm truly hoping is that commitment. Because the moment that gets done, movement starts happening. Everyone, I'm going to encourage you to go to myneurogym.com, learn about the exercises, grab the app, discover more from John. You've been an absolute gem to the show, John. Thank you so much for your time. I do wish we had a bit more, but maybe we'll have another conversation in the near future. Take care, John. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.